You're listening to Full Circle Weekly News, news of the open source community presented by Full Circle Magazine. These articles are compiled by Eric the Unready. I'm your host, Moss Bliss. This is episode 401, covering week 7, February 11th to 17th, 2025. Endeavor OS 25.02 Mercury was released, aimed at providing the ability to install Arch Linux with a selected desktop without unnecessary complications. The distribution offers a simple installer for installing the basic Arch Linux environment based on the Calamaris installer, KDE by default, Mate, LXQT, Cinnamon, XFCE, GNOME, Budgie, as well as the i3, BSPWM, and Sway Mosaic window managers are offered for installation. Work is underway to add support for other window managers and desktops. KDE Plasma 6.3 desktop environment has been released. To evaluate the new KDE releases, you can use builds from the KDE Neon and OpenSUSE projects, Argon and Krypton. Main changes include the KWin compositing manager has reworked its support for fractional scaling, snapping to the screen's pixel grid is now provided to reduce blurriness and improve clarity when zooming in, the zoom effect has been upgraded so that when zoomed in significantly, it now shows a grid to help you visually separate individual pixels, and many more. The XIF.org community has published an update to the free audio codec FLAC 1.5.0, which allows you to compress audio without losing quality. FLAC uses only lossless encoding methods, which guarantees complete preservation of the original quality of the audio stream and its identity with the reference version subjected to encoding. The compression methods used allow you to reduce the size of the original audio stream by 50 to 60%. FLAC is a completely free streaming format. The library is distributed under the BSD license. Leonard Pottering proposed a change in the system manager, systemd, that allows booting the system using a root file system image obtained from an external host via HTTP. The change boils down to extending systemd with the ability not only to download a disk image via HTTP at the initial boot stage, but also to unpack the downloaded image, bind it to a block device in loopback mode, mount the block device as /sysroot, and boot the system from it. Support for downloading disk images during system boot using systemd-import-generator is already included in systemd257. The rest of the functionality is still at the stage of a working prototype requiring further development. The implementation does not yet support the full boot cycle, but the functionality is planned to be extended to booting via UEFI HTTP boot of unified kernel images, which combine in one file a UEFI boot stub, a Linux kernel image, and an initrd system environment loaded into memory. All this is aimed at modern immutable operating systems on real hardware. The developer can create an image with the system environment on his computer using the mcosy utility and make it available via HTTP using the mcosy-f serve command. DuckDB 1.2.0 has been released, a DBMS focused on performing analytical queries and conceptually resembling SQLite. DuckDB combines SQLite's compactness, embedded library connection, single-file database storage, and CLI interface with capabilities and optimizations for performing analytical queries that cover a significant portion of stored data, such as aggregating the entire contents of tables or merging several large tables. The project's code is written in C++ and is distributed under the MIT license. DuckDB extends SQL language with its own command, which includes additional capabilities for processing very complex and long-running queries. You can use complex types, arrays, structures, unions, as well as execute arbitrary and nested correlated subqueries. Simultaneous execution of several queries is supported, as well as execution of queries directly from files in CSV and Parquet formats. Support for import from PostgreSQL DBMS is available. The OpenSUSE project developers have announced that the OpenSUSE Tumbleweed distribution has been migrated to the SE Linux Access Control System. Starting with the 2025.02.11 update, new OpenSUSE Tumbleweed installations will offer SE Linux in enforcing mode by default. Ready-to-use builds of OpenSUSE Tumbleweed minimal VM virtual machines will be shipped with SE Linux by default. AppArmor support will be retained in full. Existing configurations will continue to use AppArmor, and the installer will have an option to activate AppArmor in new installations. For users whose systems use AppArmor but want to switch to SE Linux, migration instructions are provided. The OpenSUSE Leap 15.x distribution will continue to use AppArmor. An engineer at Google has proposed increasing the Linux kernel's default timer interrupt rate to 1000 Hz, which would increase task switching frequency and reduce the task scheduler's time quantum. The current default is 250 Hz as a compromise between performance, latency, and power consumption. With 120 Hz displays typical for modern PCs and mobile devices, the 250 Hz clock rate introduces approximately half the frame time inaccuracy, reducing resource allocation efficiency and underperforming the optimal performance-to-power ratio. Power consumption may be higher for systems with low clock rates because the dynamic voltage and frequency scaling (DVFS) mechanism uses a more aggressive frequency selection strategy to avoid slowing down tasks. Another Google engineer suggested leaving the timer frequency as is, as increasing the timer interrupt frequency can lead to increased power consumption on low-power devices, such as IoT boards. He estimated that setting the frequency to 1,000 Hz, even on Android devices, has seen a 7% increase in CPU power consumption in some situations. Increasing the timer frequency also results in more frequent CPU wake-ups, as at 250 Hz, timers set to T plus 1 milliseconds, T plus 2 milliseconds, T plus 3 milliseconds, and T plus 4 milliseconds will be grouped together and result in a single wake-up, while at 1,000 Hz there will be four separate wake-ups. An update of the Chimera Linux distribution is out. It is notable for using the Linux kernel in combination with FreeBSD utilities, the dinit system manager, and the Muscle standard C library. Bootable live images are generated for the x86-64, PPC-64LE, ARCH64, RISC-V64, and PPC-64 architectures in variants with GNOME, KDE, and a stripped-down environment. The project aims to create a Linux distribution with alternative tools and is being developed taking into account the experience of developing Void Linux. Like Void Linux, the project is being developed using a rolling release cycle of software version updates. The FreeBSD user components were chosen as less complicated and more suitable for lightweight and compact systems than the standard GNU tools. In addition to FreeBSD utilities, the distribution uses GNU Make, util-linux, syslog-ng, udev, pam, dinit, clang, lld, libc++, and muscle. Memory allocation functions in muscle have been replaced by mimalloc. ZFS is used as a file system. The /var partition does not save its state between reboots. Pipewire is used to manage multimedia systems. Wayland is used by default in graphical environments. For installation of additional programs, both binary packages and a proprietary build system from source code, C ports written in Python are offered. Currently, more than 4,000 ports are supported. The build environment is launched in a separate unprivileged container created using the Bubble Wrap toolkit. The APK package manager is used to manage binary packages. The developers of the Serpent OS distribution announced that they were renaming and rebranding the project to Aran OS. They plan to complete the migration of the infrastructure to the new name on March 17th. It is noted that when the project was founded, the name Serpent OS was chosen hastily. The developers received many complaints about the unfortunate choice of name, so they decided to take advantage of the moment while the project has not left the alpha testing stage. Nate Graham has published another KDE development report. The release of KDE Plasma 6.3.0 has revealed several nasty bugs that are scheduled to be fixed in 6.3.1 patch, scheduled for February 18th. An issue has been identified in the X11-based session that causes the KWin compositing manager to crash when connecting a new screen or switching between screens connected via HDMI. KDE users are advised to try switching to a Wayland-based session as KDE has largely stopped testing the X11-based session. Also included in the 6.3.1 update are fixes for KWin crashes that could occur when connecting Thunderbolt devices and Alt-Tab process switching during software rendering. Additionally, a regression that could cause crashes when running some Qt applications in the Breeze environment has been fixed. In the Plasma desktop, an issue where clicking the network status icon in the system tray would crash when building with GCC 15, due in May, has been resolved. Additionally, when building with GCC 15 with LTO optimizations, a KWin issue was discovered that would cause a black screen after changing the ICC profile in the display settings. Luanti 5.11.0 has been released. It is a free, cross-platform sandbox game engine that allows you to create games with voxel mechanics using various voxel blocks for players to jointly form various structures and buildings that make the virtual world. The gameplay provided by the engine is entirely dependent on a set of mods created in the Lua language. The engine is written in C++ using the Erlicht MT 3D library. Luanti code is distributed under the LGPL license, and game resources are licensed under the CC BY ISA 3.0 license. Ready-made builds are generated for various Linux distributions, Android, FreeBSD, Windows, and Mac OS. The CAD-based platform designed for storing data related to engineering and computer design continues to develop. The main task of the platform is to exchange 3D models, drawings, and related information, such as accompanying documentation, catalogs with information about suppliers, certificates, standardization, and classification documents. The code is written in Rust and is distributed under the MIT license. Kent Overstreet has submitted a pull request with fixes to BcacheFS proposed for inclusion in the 6.13-RC3 branch. In addition to the information about fixes, the message announces the stabilization of the BcacheFS disk structure format. Any further changes to the format will be categorized as optional and will be implemented as optional add-ons. The fixes include improved read-only mode performance, fix for use after free, fix for reflink pointers in FSCK, and fix for transaction restart handling. Lubos Kochman reported that SUSE is considering dropping support for BIOS booting, which would make SUSE and OpenSUSE distributions unusable on systems without UEFI support. The desire to drop BIOS support is explained by the fact that starting with the SLES 16 and OpenSUSE Leap 16 releases, packages will be built for the x86-64 V2 architecture. Developers doubt that there is hardware in use that uses the x86-64 V2 architecture but does not support UEFI. As for virtualization systems, which often use BIOS-based mode to boot virtual machines, it is reported that this will not be a problem since KVM, Xen, VirtualBox, and other virtualization systems can emulate UEFI. Hardware based on Intel platforms has been shipped with UEFI since 2005. In 2020, Intel stopped supporting BIOS in client systems and data center platforms. The Fedora distribution intended to remove BIOS support in 2020 and 2022, but the project's technical committee rejected these initiatives. You've been listening to Full Circle Weekly News. For more details, see the next issue of the magazine at fullcirclemagazine.org or check the links in the show notes. You can contact me at bardmoss@pm.me. I'll see you next week.